back to you, Barry Armstrong.
Thanks, June. Our text number 680-680. Our guest this morning is Frank Britt. Now, Frank is the chief executive officer of Penn Foster. Now, Frank, good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Frank, Penn Foster, I was looking at your website earlier. It appears to be a school to train kids that perhaps don't have a high school diploma to work in a trade. Is that correct?
Well, we certainly have a very sizable focus on high school, but we also serve the adult learner. In fact, more than 50% of our students are actually adults who are being reskilled or in search of a new career track. So we kind of cover the continuum from the high school kid all the way to people in their 40s and 50s.
I've heard of the skills gap. I have a friend who's got a machine shop in central Massachusetts, and he says it's tough to find machinists in his particular instance. What kind of a skills gap are you seeing nationally?
Well, I think that the skills gap is, in fact, a pretty major crisis. We talk to lots of employers, and the consistent theme is, we have opportunities for people. We just don't have people who have the requisite skills. The source of that problem, of course, is a complex one, but I think it comes down to two or three issues. First of all, there's a lot of negative impressions about careers in manufacturing and blue-collar industries. Student advisors, parents, adults, they generally don't recommend you go to manufacturing as a career track or industrial career tracks. But in fact, those are oftentimes the most lucrative ones, the ones that offer the most opportunity. In many cases, over the last several decades, as schools were under pressure to prioritize and rationalize their spending, they really cut very aggressively the career tech programs that many of us saw when we were kids.
Sure.
So those two factors conspire to create a situation where as the economy grows and there's more need for more technical skills, there just aren't enough people who have spent the last 5 or 10 years getting ready for the opportunity.
So what kind of skills are in need? Like if you're a kid and you're just not college material, we'll call it, right? You're not going to go to Harvard to study political science or economics. What type of skills are out there that can help a kid where he can get a job and make a living and support his family?
I think that, first of all, there's a lot more kids, if you want to describe them as kids or young adults, who probably should be pursuing this non-traditional path. The four-year orientation is driven by sort of a set of metrics in the schools, but the reality is that there's a lot more opportunities and the right opportunities for people who may not have a four-year career path as their near-term plan. We have lots of occupations that we see there's a need, everything from HVAC training and air conditioning and ventilation to actually going into manufacturing, where if you go into a manufacturing career track, you have to have some technical skills like industrial math and things like that, but things that are certainly eminently trainable for a person that's graduated from a high school with even with an average level of academic capability.
Let me ask you, how many kids, Frank, do you, or young adults and adults, do you graduate each year?
Well, in our industrial programs, in particular, we have, think of it as two tracks. We have people who enroll independently, and in that respect, we would have sort of the same graduation rates of a community college. But what we find is that we work extensively across the United States with workforce boards. So, for example, in Massachusetts, if an individual looking for a job was to go to the massworkforce.com site, there are 16 different locations around the state. These one-stop career centers work.
No, Frank, what I want to get to is this. Do your kids graduate and find jobs? Because there was a story that we covered a week or two ago where there was a school, it was down in Brockton, right?
Right,
they're
exactly
taking money from kids, and 17% of their kids were getting jobs. I want to know, your school, how many of your kids get jobs?
Well, the people that are in the industrial programs have very high graduation rates. So the industrial programs we have, the graduation rates would be in excess of 80%.
And so you're saying they finish your program, let's use a machinist as an example.
Yeah.
They finish your machinist program, 80% of those kids are finding jobs?
Well, let's think about how they get the training. So if you're going to be a machinist, or if you're going to be a welder, or if you're going to do diesel engine repair, you obviously have to work at the machines, right? So our model is about 75 or 80% of the academic is happening online, self-paced, by the way, with no student debt. We accept no Title IV money. All of it is pay-as-you-go. We don't believe in that. We don't believe any student should go into debt. What we believe is that you should pay as you go through the program. If for a variety of reasons you decide to stop the program, that's fine. Then you sort of pay as you consume the experience, and we think that's a fair trade.
I want to just point out, Frank, I want to point out how that's different to other programs like yours, and I want to mention, just this is to your benefit, 50% of the $1 trillion of student loan debt that's out there is related to for-profit schools. You don't take student loan money.
That's correct. That term is called Title IV money. Yep. And those larger for-profit schools, as you know, have a certain requirement regarding how much financial aid they're allowed to receive. Our philosophy is there's a nominal down payment, which could be anywhere between $50 and $100. And as you go along, we set up a payment plan. We finance, by the way, 130,000 students a year with 0% APR. So we think it's just totally unacceptable to ask a person to take a risk in changing their career and investing in education and then saddle them with debt. We think that's wrong.
Yep, no, I agree. So what you're telling us, I think, is that your kids are getting jobs.
I think they're getting jobs because of the way the program is designed. You have to have a practicum. And if you're going to have a practicum, you have to work with employers. So as I was starting down the path a few minutes ago, we work with the workforce boards. The workforce boards in each state, the 16 locations in Massachusetts, they are the people who have the most visibility into blue-collar opportunities. In fact, that's their purpose. Their purpose is to connect employers and skills. So what happens if you go to one of these locations, they will do a free assessment. They will tell you how your current capabilities, especially if you're an adult and you've had some prior life experience, they will help you pivot to a new pathway. They may say, listen, you have the right skill set to actually go right into the workforce, or they may say you need to go to like a Penn Foster. So if you enter our program, the student could be 35 years old, could be 18. You would typically spend between 6 and 12 months in a certificate program, but because it's self-paced, which in contrast to we all went to school, we all started the same day and finished the end the same day. In our
How
program,
much does it cost, Frank?
A typical class might cost between $800 and $1,500 for what we call a certification program. And when you graduate from that program, you different occupations also have, as you know, certain, if you will, third-party tests that are required. But as a general statement, you would graduate with a certification in diesel engine repair and so forth, and you would be off and running to pursue career opportunities as a full-fledged, capable person, and you would have had a practicum, which would have demonstrated your mastery both in the hands-on aspects as well as the theory. We find the theory parts, by the way, are often where people get stymied. You have to know some basic components like industrial math. If you don't know industrial math and measurements, it's really hard to do some of these occupations. So we find that to be very helpful, and we work with over 1,000 employers across the United States with these students, some who have jobs are being retrained, some who are pivoting, and the model works. And
all right, so these kids, what you're telling us is these kids, as they finish their certificate programs, they are, in fact, getting jobs. I apologize for my hostility earlier, Frank, but I've had bad experiences with some of these for-profit schools.
Well, just to give you a little perspective, you know, our company is not a new company. We're actually the original correspondence school in the United States. We were founded in 1890, if you can believe it. Yep. We were the original mail-order education model, like the Sears catalog, all through the 20th century. And so we've been sort of focused on this middle-skilled workforce from our origins. Now, of course, in the contemporary context, it's not through the mail. It's online. It's digital. It's interactive. It's all the things you would expect. But the DNA of serving middle-skilled people is sort of what we've always done, and we've always taken the same approach on flexibility, affordability, self-pacing, and the end game, as we like to say, is the purpose of going to school is not to do well in school, it's to do well in your life and in career. And so
Frank,
we keep that as our mantra.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. That's Frank Britt, CEO of Penn Foster Trade Schools. Better news there than I thought I was going to get, and glad to have him on.